Man, can I just tell you, it's good to be home. If you've taken a month off too, or maybe this is your first time at Lifehouse. My name is Drew. I think I'm still the pastor. In your heart. but we're so privileged to take the last month, the entirety of June off. Several people said, "Are you rested?" I said, "I'm married with 3 kids. I'm not rested." I mean, I worked harder than I've ever worked before. Nah. But no, I tell you what I am, and that's grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful, first of all, that I am privileged to pastor a church filled with so many incredible men and women and leaders where I can leave for 5 Sundays and we don't miss a beat. I'm grateful for that. Somebody said, that means you're a good leader. I think it just means that God is a good God. That's what it really means. He's a good father. I'm grateful that while I was away, I was able to spend time with my kids, my wife. We were, most of that time was spent in the car, but we got an oil change at the beginning of June and we need another one now. But I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that I have an amazing board who not only allowed me to take a month off, to take this sabbatical, not only allowed me to do it, but they encouraged me to do it. And I'm just grateful that they see the importance of that. I consider myself blessed beyond measure, blessed better than I deserve, to be a part of this church, of so many of you who are just so special to me. And while we were away, we missed you guys. We went to other churches and they were great, but they weren't home. They weren't Lifehouse. I'm just saying. That's okay to say, right? Yeah. Hope if they're watching, I'm sorry. It's just true. I can't help it. I can't lie to you. This coming week, I'm really torn right now because this coming week our kids are going to kids camp, which is amazing. Praise God. Come on, it's amazing. 23 kids. And I'm so excited for them. Not so much for the leaders. I'm just kidding. I'm very excited for the leaders. It's going to be great. But in the numbers I'm about to read you, man, I don't even know how to do this because I'm so heartbroken this morning over what's transpiring in the state of Texas. And if you don't know, you can look it up. But I warn you, it's tragic. It'll hurt you. These numbers aren't even accurate anymore. Friday morning, flash flooding swept through Central Texas and the Guadalupe River overflow turned into a deadly force. Families caught completely off guard within just 45 minutes. And like I said, I know this isn't even accurate anymore. The river rose 26 feet. It washed away campsites, homes, and vehicles. 24, I know it's more today, have so far been reported deceased, many still missing, and many of those who are missing and who have died are campers from a church camp. And we were going to pray for kids, and we still are. We're going to pray for our kids' camp. My heart breaks I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine being a pastor in that area. I can't imagine being a father. And you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer today too. A lot of times when you pray, you don't even know what to pray. Like, how do you pray for this? How do you pray for this situation? But even when facts are as terrible as these, my faith is firm in that God is still a good God and that his promises are true. And yes, and amen. And he promised us in his word that somehow, some way, he can bring good even out of the most horrific of circumstances. So if we could we just take hands all over the room this morning? All over the room. Just as a sign of unity, that Lifehouse, that Oak Ridge, we stand with the state of Texas. We stand with these families who are suffering and who need so much help, but they also need a God to show up in their lives, to comfort them, to give them peace, just in spite of all that they're going through. So can we pray together in unity? Father, today, as I said earlier, the words escape me. I cannot even comprehend living through that kind of a tragedy. And to be honest, Lord, I hope I never know how to. But Father, we pray that you would be with the entire state of Texas, be with our nation as we mourn this incredible tragedy. Father, we pray that for those who are still missing, that they will be found and that no further life will be lost. God, we pray for the families that have been just shaken to their core, that supernatural peace and comfort and help, God, would make its way into their minds, into their hearts, and into their lives. And God, logically, it escapes me to know how you're going to bring some form of good out of this. I have no rationale. I have no wisdom that can see that. But Lord, I trust you. I depend on you. And God, we look to you and we trust that even though it escapes our logical selves, God, that in faith and by faith and through faith and only through faith do we trust and believe today that you will move in this situation, that somehow, some way, some good will come as a result of it, and that somehow, some way, that Jesus, you would be lifted up, and that men and women and boys and girls and families all across the nation will turn to you and hear the gospel somehow as a result of this tragedy, and that good will come through the name of Jesus. God, we also pray for our kids this morning who are going to camp this week. Lifehouse, look around. Kids, if you're going to camp this week, would you just raise your hand high in the air? Leaders, if you're going to camp this week, raise your hand high in the air. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, keep your hands up, keep your hands up. If there are kids near you with their hands in the air, just reach over and touch them. If they're not near you, just point your hands toward them and let's pray for them, believe God for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our boys and girls, our daughters and our sons as they go to Camp Jackson. Father, we pray that you would protect them on the way there and on the way back. And while they're there, we pray, God, that you would provide for them. Lord, an amazing experience. God, we ask and we expect that they're going to have a ton of fun, that they're going to build friendships, and that relationships with one another are going to be strengthened. But most of all, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that they encounter you, God, that they are filled with the Spirit overflowing. Lord God, that they would just experience your love and grace to a level that they have never before in their lives known, and that they would come back onto this property Saturday afternoon more excited, more passionate, more committed to you than they have ever been before. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we thank our amazing kids ministry? Yeah. Amen. Lori's in the house with us today. It's Family Sunday, so I'm just so grateful I can see all three of my daughters here on the front row. And I see you, sweetie. And y'all are looking good. Noelle, I better get some good amens from you, okay? It won't be long before you'll be up here doing this. You reap what you sow, okay? Yeah. But Lori, just I know you. I just want you to stand, and I just can we just thank our amazing Kids House leader for what she does for us, for our kids, sincerely. Yeah. My family, my kids, just as much as y'all's is a benefit. I'm getting tongue-tied, are beneficiaries of the incredible ministry that she leads. And we love you, Lori. It's going to be a great week. And we're praying that God will give you strength and that you get good rest. And somehow or another, you get nutrition with all that camp food. Yeah, I disagree. One more quick shout-out to my boy Max. He did a great job this past Wednesday. Fantastic preaching, proud of you, man. He called me at 6:45 Wednesday morning, said, what time should I be at church tonight? I was like, bro, I was up, but I was trying to spend time with the Lord. And I was like, it's too early. It's too early for me to have a conversation with anybody but Jesus. But no, you did a great job. And I told him to get ready to preach his next sermon. So we'll see, right? I said, preach out of the Old Testament this time. It's more fun. So, speaking of the Old Testament, go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. A very specific thank you to Don Miller for doing so much as far as leading on Sunday mornings while I was out. Him and Lindsay, they're out this week vacationing, I guess, after I was gone for a month. I couldn't really tell them no. But aren't you thankful that we have an incredible worship team that even when he's out, we don't miss a beat as well. Also want to give a shout out to Mr. Brad Winkle. He preached one time. He did a fantastic job. Appreciate you, Brad. Great preaching. AJ Underwood, he's not able to be here today. He had to fly out for work, but he did a fantastic job as well. And Brad, you're the only one that stayed after I love you, man. Yeah. but man, aren't we so blessed that we have so many capable leaders in our church? Isn't that just awesome? And there's more than the ones that I just named as well. I did hear some rumors that the sermons were shorter, but Brad, I listened to yours. Can we stand as we read the word together? I had a lot of different thoughts going into this Sunday, what I wanted to preach on, if I wanted to start a new series. And honestly, I just had this word that was on my heart that was really for me, and it is still for me, that I just couldn't shake. So I wanted to share that with you today. This is what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, kind of an inconspicuous story here. It says, one day the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet. All right, he said, go ahead. Please come with us, someone suggested. I will, he said. So he went with them. Now, so far, if you're thinking this is just a really random story, you're right. It kind of is. It's like, we're going to go, we need a place to meet. We need a bigger church is kind of what they're saying. I can get behind that. The Jordan River's got a lot of trees. We can chop them down and we can use them for lumber and we can build us a better, bigger place. Elisha, why don't you go with us? Okay. That's kind of where we are so far. So we went with them. And when they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried. It was a borrowed axe. It's funny because it's like, okay. Maybe it'll make sense in a moment. I hope so. Elisha says, where did it fall? And then he showed him the place. And the Bible says Elisha cut a stick. And he threw it into the water. I mean, just into that spot. They waited a little bit. The axe head floated to the surface. Elisha told him, grab it. And the man reached out and he grabbed it. And he got back to chopping wood. All right, Lifehouse, been a great day. Love you guys. You get an early lunch today. Now I gotta give me a few more minutes, if you will. Father, we're grateful for the word of God, that in your word there is no wasted space. There are no wasted words. There are no wasted stories. Just like in our own lives, God, nothing with you is wasted. And so, Father, I pray that as we glean from your word, that you would speak to us and that we would be like the good soil that Jesus talked about, that hears the word of God, receives the word of God, and produces a harvest of righteousness multiplied over and over again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. As Christians, most of us don't consider ourselves theologians. And while we may not be professional theologians, if you have ever had a thought about the Lord in some manner of speaking, you are a theologian. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them, I am a theologian. Jeff, you didn't do it. I was watching you specifically, just seeing if you would comply. Jeff says, you don't know what I know, Drew. No, you are a theologian, and there are two theological errors that Christians, possibly some of you in the room, we often commit without even recognizing or knowing that we are committing these errors. The first error that we often commit is we think that God is a distant and uninvolved God in our lives. And there's actually a term for that kind of belief. It's called deism, where we believe that there is a God, but he's kind of like a watchmaker in that he creates whatever it is that he's made, right? And then he puts it in motion, and then he sets it aside, and it does its own thing as he created it to do. But for the remainder of its life cycle, he has nothing else to do with it. Does that make sense? He winds up the spring, so to speak, or in modern vernacular, he puts the battery in, he takes it off the charger, whatever, and then boom, there it goes. And that, like I said, that's called deism, and that's just this belief that God is real, God is there, but God cannot be depended on for any interaction in my daily life. That once he started something, he is then hands off with it. Most of us probably don't struggle with that theological error, because if we have had any experience in the Word of God, we know that God is a very active God in his people's lives and in this world, right? The second one, though, is a little easier to fall into, a little easier deception to fall into. And I want to say this. When it comes to the devil, if the devil cannot just make you completely turn your back on the Lord, he will do everything he can to keep you as an ineffective believer and follower of the Lord. And so, as we talk about this second error of belief, this is kind of where we fall into, that many of us, we struggle with this because we have picked up along the way these misconceptions about God, and we've actually adopted them as our theological values. And so I want to tear down some of that here today. And that second error is that, and I don't know if there's a word for it, but I have a sentence for it. That second error is that God really only cares about the big things. Like, for instance, what I mean is this. God's got global wars to worry about. Not my headache and the bills I have due this week. Does it make sense now? Or maybe we would say things to ourselves. We probably wouldn't say it out loud. But we say things to ourselves like this. Like, why would God care about this little thing in my life when there's so many other big things in the world that need to occupy his attention and time? Is it hitting home a little bit more yet? Matt, can you give me just a little bit more? Or maybe we say things like this. I'm sure that God is too busy dealing with cancer and earthquakes and floods and governments to worry about helping me with my anxiety. This is the one I have actually heard the most as a pastor. someone will come to me and they say, you know, I'm ashamed to even ask you to pray with me about this because it's just this little old thing that is going on with me, but I know that this other person has got so many other things going on. I feel like I shouldn't even pray for this. I should just spend my time praying for them. Some of you in the room have actually said those words in a roundabout way to me. And to be very honest with you, I may not have spoken them out loud, but I've thought the same thing to myself. This is why I love this story from 2 Kings. It's so random and just inconspicuous, really easy to overlook. And you know, when we read through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, but even the New Testament as well, man, I love the big stories. I love the David and Goliath, right? I love Moses parting the Red Sea and they walk on dry ground all the way through, right? I love Elijah calling down fire from heaven, right? I love Daniel in the lion's den and he just sleeps all night and wakes up the next morning and he just had fun playing with the big cats all night, right? You know, I love those stories. I love Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead. But here in 2 Kings chapter 6, we have God helping some dude. We don't even know his name. Anybody want to name him? Maybe we should just call him Phil. I feel like Fred? Fred. Yeah. Yeah. So just write it in your Bible there in the margin. Oh, Fred had borrowed somebody. He had borrowed Phil's axe and he was chopping down a tree because they were going to use the lumber to help build a bigger building so that they could meet and learn from the prophet Elisha. And as he's swinging his axe, the axe head flies off and it falls in the Jordan River. And I honestly, when I read it, if I don't think a lot about it, I think to myself, why is this even in here? Like, who cares about Fred's axe? God does. You know why God cares about Fred's axe? Because God cares about Fred. Y'all are never going to forget this guy was named Fred. He flips out. Like he really starts freaking out, right? He asks Elisha for help. And what I love about Elisha, now just let me tell you this about Elisha. First of all, you have two prophets. The first one is named Elijah with a J. And then you have Elisha with an SH. Now it's funny, even in the room, we got some Elijahs. Poor old Elishas, though. I never hear anybody naming their son Elisha. Mandy, can you tell us why? Just, you don't know? You're feeling convicted now. I don't know why. But it's interesting because Elisha was Elijah's understudy as a prophet. You would think God could have picked somebody named different, make it easier to remember the two, right, and tell them apart. But Elisha was Elijah's understudy. He followed him. He did everything with him. And then as Elijah was taken to heaven by God in like a whirlwind, you know, and God or Elisha had asked for a double portion anointing. And Elijah said, if you see me when I go, you'll get it. And so he saw him, the mantle that Elijah, I'm confusing myself. It fell. Elisha picked it up and then he popped it like a towel on the Jordan River and it parted and he walked through it, right? Even that story doesn't get a lot of traction. We talk about rivers, we're talking about the Red Sea. We don't talk about Elisha parting the Jordan River, right? And interestingly enough, now I've never counted them myself, but I have heard it said, you know, Elisha asked for a double portion anointing and he actually performed twice as many miracles as Elijah performed. So with all that being said, you'd think Elisha would get a little more fanfare, but I digress. So here we are. Elisha doesn't rebuke Fred. He doesn't go like, hey, Fred, it's just an axe. Back off me. I got some prophesying to do today. Right? He doesn't say, dude, it's just an axe head. It's not my fault you borrowed it from Phil and Phil's going to be mad. I don't know. I'm kind of getting off in the weeds here. No, Elisha says, where did it fall? And he shows him, and he's like, all right, and he pops a stick, and he throws it in. And then, you know, I'm not a scientist. I know we're in Oak Ridge, but I don't really know a whole lot about science. I appreciate the fact that it exists, I guess. That didn't make any sense, did it? I told y'all I was out of practice. Noel, you better amen me right here. Yeah. He throws the stick in the water, and like I said, I don't know a lot about science, but I know that metal don't float. Amen. Right? And that, yeah, that stick didn't make it float. I don't know why he threw the stick in. I guess he's just, you know, whatever. And then there it is. It floats to the top. And Elisha says, get it. You got to have the little Tennessee twang on it. Get it. There it is. Get it before it floats away. And Fred picks it up. He better got a new axe handle. I'm just saying, that other one must have been busted. That's why the axe head flew off. And he puts it on there, and he starts chopping down wood again, and they move on. And whoever wrote 2 Kings was like, you know what? That's an amazing story. I'm going to put that in there. It's probably Fred. I don't know. Why did God make that thing float? Because this man cared. He cared because he borrowed something from somebody and he wanted to be a man of integrity. He wanted to be able to do the right thing. And because of his heart and the posture of his heart, even as simple and as seemingly small as this miracle was, God moved on his behalf. It wasn't a war to win. It wasn't a sickness to heal. It wasn't a dead body to raise. It wasn't a sea to part. It was God just making a chunk of metal float for one man because it mattered to him. And because it mattered to him, it mattered to God, because to him, or to God, he mattered. There we go. I got it out. Right? So here's the title of the message. You've been staring at it for a few minutes now. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Because you matter to God. And what you care about, God cares about, because God cares about you. And some of you need to hear that truth today, because you're walking around like, excuse me, Lord, I know this will offend you a little bit. You're walking around like a redheaded stepchild of the king, when in fact you are, no offense, redheads, I see many of you in the room, please don't hurt me afterwards. And if you're also a stepchild, God loves you too, okay? But many of you are acting like the black sheep of the family, when in fact you're just as much royalty as anybody else. Somebody have a black sheep over here? Right? So you've got to hear this today, because the enemy wants to convince you of this lie, that you are too insignificant. Your name may not be Fred, but you may still feel like a nobody. But God looks at you and he says, I see it's somebody worth sending my son to die on a cross to redeem. Right? God looks at you and he doesn't see a nobody. He sees somebody that he was willing to lay his life down for. He sees somebody he loves, somebody he cherishes, someone that he cares about. And because he cares about you, he cares about what you care about. There is no prayer too big. There is no prayer too small. There is no desire, no need, no want, no pain, no heartache too insignificant, because he is a God who doesn't just want to know the really important details about your life. He is a God who wants to be intimately involved in every detail of your life. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Three quick points this morning. Point number one, God cares about what you carry. God cares about what you carry. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. I was doing an internship at a church, and I was working about 60 hours a week at a pawn shop. And on Wednesdays, I led youth. And on Sundays, I was doing all kinds of stuff. And I was really stressed out. I was really tired. The church that I was interning at and the pawn shop I worked at were about 40 miles apart. So it made a long drive, because I was expected to go to the church most evenings after I got off work. I got off at 6 o'clock. I would drive straight there. And I had this little bitty office, and there was nothing in it. And they said, here's $100. They gave me a $100 bill, and there's a Christian bookstore in town. I wish there were still Christian bookstores in town, but there was a Christian bookstore in town. He said, here's $100. Go get some stuff to put in your office. Like, and by stuff, they meant everything from pens, sticky notes, and anything I wanted to put on the wall. And I walk into this little Christian bookstore, and right there in a 5x7 frame was this scripture written out on a piece of artwork. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. It was probably in the King James, if I remember correctly. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares about what you carry. God doesn't categorize your cares, your worries, as, I ain't worried about that. That's just a little old thing over there. And then over here you've got, oh yeah, this is a big deal. I'm going to take care of that. And family, Sunday is today. Kids, this is for you. Teenagers, this is for you. And let me tell you this, just because you're young and you probably don't think of it this way, but a lot of times adults will think of it this way. Just because you're young and because maybe your cares do not have the worldly perspective of significance as some other people may do, if you care about it, your Heavenly Father cares about it just as much as he cares about what I care about, just as much as he cares about what Shekiah cares about. Listen, I want to tell all of you on the front row, my kids, you're kind of all my kids at this point. I'm sorry. I'm the pastor. It's my right. But all of you in the room, if you care about it because he cares about you, he cares about it as well. God cares about what you carry. The NLT uses the word give in this scripture, give all. Now, my pastor used to say that all is the biggest word in the Bible because when God says all, he means all, right? But another impressive and important word in this scripture is the word give. I honestly don't think our modern Bible translations use the best kind of word there when it says give. Some of the older translations say cast, but a more literal reading of that word is actually it means to throw. Or if you're from East Tennessee, you chunk it. Max, can you help me out real quick with my backpack? I want to give you just a real simple visual illustration here of what this looks like. So come up here with me, Max. Yeah. You got anything in here?
A little bit.
Got a little bit in here? So you know, this backpack is representative of our life, right? And, you know, in this backpack, you might be carrying that you care. I'm getting tongue-tied again. Told y'all I'm out of practice. Y'all pray for me. You know, you care about your kids. You care about our country. You care about your health. You care about your spouse. You care about Lifehouse. You better be carrying Lifehouse up in here, okay? You know? You care about, you know, your material possessions. And that's okay, too. That's not a bad thing. Just it's okay to care about them. It's just not okay for them to own you, okay? Right? You know, you care about a lot of stuff. You care about your job. You care about your coworkers. You care about your friends. You care about so many things. Like, you probably right now, if I gave you 30 minutes to make a list, you could fill a list up, but if I mentioned a few other things, it would immediately spark the thought, and you would remember, oh, yeah, I care about that too, right? The things that we put in this, you know, metaphorical bag of our cares is endless, right? And so what does 1 Peter actually tell us to do? Now, fun fact, he's actually almost quoting, I want to say it's Psalm 122 when he says this, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. What is he telling us? He's not telling us to walk up to the Lord and be like, hey God, you never thought you'd get to play God, did you?
No.
Yeah. Susie didn't either. Just kidding. I'm back. I got to make fun of you a little bit. People think something's wrong if I don't pick on you. Right? No, Max is great. You know, what Peter is not telling us to do is to walk up to God all bashful and shy and say, hey, God, you know, I got a few things I'm carrying right now. And then what we like to do, hold this for me, Max, is what we like to do instead of giving God all of our cares, what we might do is walk up to him and be like, hey, you know, I got this little, if you can just help me with this. That would be great. But I can take care of the rest. Here, put it back in there. What Peter's actually telling us to do is like, hey, God, I didn't come up with this. You said it in your word to cast all my cares and worries on you, to give them to you, to throw them to you. So listen, I got my family, I got my job, I got my stuff, I got my health, I got my church, I got all these things. And God, I can't carry all this because I'm getting tired. And the longer I try to carry this burden, the heavier this burden gets. But I know, God, that you have unlimited strength, you have unlimited power. God, you are always good and you are always able. So instead of me coming to you fearful and like a slave. That's what the Bible says. We no longer have to approach God like fearful slaves, but we can come to you as redeemed sons and daughters. So God, I'm just going to give this to you because God, I know that you can handle it. I know that you can carry it. I know that you can handle the weight of what I carry way better than I can. And then I don't even have the scripture on the screen. Jesus tells us this, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take upon yourself my yoke, right? My burden is easy and light. What it is too many of us are trying to carry things that God never intended for us to carry. Can I tell you, parents, that your Heavenly Father loves your children more than you love your children? Here you go. Thank you, Max. Appreciate you, bro. Can I tell you, those of you who struggle with anxiety and sometimes you worry about, you know, if you're like me, and I'll just confess this, sometimes I'll be going to sleep at night and I won't be worried about anything. And then my mind is like, you know what? Let's try to think of something that will stress you out and keep you up all night. Because you've been taking it too easy lately, Drew. Because if you don't worry about it, then it's going to fall apart, right? That's the lie our brains tell themselves. That's why it's so important. According to his word, we have to renew our minds, right? Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Whether it's a heartbreak or a headache, God cares for you. Whether it's a crisis or a work conflict, God cares for you. And whatever it is that you are carrying today, God is inviting you to throw it to him and let him shoulder that load for you. You guys good? Point number two. Lenny, if you'll just, where's Lenny at? Lenny, if you'll just come play for me. I told you I'm pretty short today. Got you beat, Brett. You're right. Security, can you come get this man? Point number two, God listens without limits. God listens without limits. Paul tells us in Philippians, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Can I be real with y'all? So much of my life, I've been worrying about everything and praying about nothing. I'm not going to fake it today. I'm going to tell you, like, the majority of my life has consisted of me worrying about everything and maybe not praying about nothing, but at least praying about just a few things. But that's not what God's word says. God's word says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Can I tell you that your Father in heaven, when you come to him, he will never say, hey, I'm too busy for you today, Wendy. I'm dealing with a lot of other stuff today. Have you seen what's happening in the Middle East? I ain't got time for you today. Right? Have you seen what's happening in Russia? I ain't got time for you today. Have you seen what's happening wherever or with whoever? No, God never says that. He never says, I'm too busy. He never says, I got too much else going on. He never says, oh, that's too small for you to worry me about. He wants us with every decision, every doubt, every pain, every problem, every inconvenience, every single issue that we ever have. God is inviting us in his word to come to him with faith and belief and boldness and understand that he is a God who cares about what we carry and he is a God who will listen without limits. Because here's the thing, and man, again, I've made this mistake so many times where I feel like prayer is a fire alarm. And the only time I can actually go to God and pray, if the fire is too big for me to put it out myself. But prayer is not for emergencies only. Prayer is something that we should be practicing every single day of our lives, not because we want to be good little Christian boys and girls, but because we want to know our Father as we are known by Him, because we want to be able to depend on Him, because that's actually what He's invited us to do. He even says in His Word, when you realize how weak you are, that's when you'll start realizing how strong I am. He's a good Father. He welcomes every single whisper, every You ever been praying and you're like, I don't know what to say. God, can I tell you, your Heavenly Father's not over there tapping His foot going, can you get to the point? Now, I might would do that. You might would do that. But you see, our Father, He doesn't operate in time. He's not looking at His clock saying, can you get to the point already? No. He's sitting there completely patient, completely focused, just like that. With every with every whisper, when you don't know what to say. You ever pray? I know you do. You ever pray and you think, and maybe even say it out loud, I don't even know what to say. This is what I think the Father does. He goes, I know. I know what's going on. I got you. Because He doesn't just listen to the language of our mouths. He hears the cries of our heart. He's so good. Can I tell you that no matter how good you think He is, He's better. No matter how loving you believe Him to be, He's more. No matter how gracious and forgiving and kind you have understood Him to be, it exceeds your wildest imaginations. God's goodness is probably the only thing in this world we cannot over-exaggerate. You can't brag on that enough. It's not like bass fishing, right? Last thought. God's care is constant and complete. I started reading through the New Testament again about 2 weeks ago. Just wanted to go through it, trying to read through it again in 60 days. And, you know, God's Word is cool in that you can read through it however many times. You can read the same story 24 times. Some of the epistles, Philippians, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, I bet you I've read each one 200 times. Plus, but every time I read through any portion of God's Word, no matter how many times I've ever read through it before, something new, something different always just seems to just grab a hold of my heart. So I was reading in Matthew, and I just love this illustration that Jesus gives to remind us of how good our Father is. He says, what is the price of 2 sparrows, 1 copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. Because you got to remember, all creation is His creation. God cares for you. God cares for the birds of the air. Jesus says, not even a single bird can fall down without your Father knowing it. And then He says, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of birds. You matter to God more than any trees, any birds, anything else in all creation. I was talking about science earlier, and again, I'm not real smart in it, but I have seen how the universe works on the Discovery Channel. So there's that. And I love those shows, and they talk about the vastness of the cosmos. They talk about the planets and the galaxies and the stars. You know, there are stars, they say, and I'm just taking their word for it because I don't really know how to look for it or measure it, but they say there are stars in the universe that they're able to see and detect with telescopes and different scientific instruments that make, in comparison, our sun as small as a grain of sand. God made all that. But he looks at each one of us and he says, in my image, I made you. I love the line, don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of birds. The same God that cares for the smallest details of creation also cares about the smallest details of your life. He doesn't take days off. He doesn't take a month off in June. He don't take a Sunday off. He don't take a Friday off. He doesn't take an hour off. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on your head. He's got to get up every day and say, all right, where are we at today, Julie? Got to count them, right? For some of you, it's getting a little easier. Sorry. Sorry, Irby. God just looks at Irby and says, next. He's so good. My only goal in this sermon is that you would know that you were loved and highly valued by your Heavenly Father, and that you can go to him at any time for any reason. You don't have to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect anyway, because you belong to him. My kids, if they had to be perfect to come talk to me, they're pretty great, I won't lie. But they would never be able to gain an audience with me if they had to be perfect. And you can go to God anytime for any reason. Not because you're so good, but because he is. He's so good. I want to ask you if you would, just everyone in the church building, if you would bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I just want to remind you one more time that God cares for you so much that he sent his son Jesus to defeat sin, to defeat death, so that you could be forgiven and walk and have new, abundant, and eternal life. And so today in this house, if in your heart you are unsure of your standing before God, maybe you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to be Lord of your life, or maybe you have at some point in the past, but the fruit of your life and the prayer that you prayed are not in alignment with one another. Today, I want to lead the entire church in a prayer. We're all going to pray it. But if you're in the house and you know, as of right now, I'm not following Jesus. He's not my Savior, and he's not my Lord. But I want that to change right now. Then this prayer is specifically for you. Lifehouse is a family. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you that through Jesus, I am forgiven. I repent of all sin. I release unforgiveness. I release anger. I release guilt and I release shame. Make me new again. Renew my mind. Help me to follow you, to live for you, and most of all, to surrender to you. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just prayed that prayer and that prayer was for you specifically, right where you were seated, would you lift your hand high in the air so I can rejoice in what the Lord's doing? I see you, buddy. Is there anybody else? I see you, ma'am. I see you, friend. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray specifically for these three that have raised their hands, that God, that you would move and minister in their lives and that their confession of faith would just lead to a transformative experience like they have never known before. Jesus, as they repent of sin and as they receive the new life that you have for them, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, one more thing. What have you been carrying that God is waiting for you to cast to him? What's your lost axe head, so to speak? What's your need, your desire, your worry, your care? Because if it matters to you, I'm going to teach it to you one more time. If it matters to you, it matters to God. So if it matters to you, it matters to God. And so today, just by standing to your feet, if you've been carrying some cares, and today you're ready to throw them to the Lord, to trust him with your worries, your cares, and your anxieties, because you know he cares for you. Would you just stand to your feet? Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just right where you are, I know we're not singing a song, but the Bible tells us to lift up hands. I kind of think of it like this, is that, you know, when in the world we talk about throwing hands, we talk like this. But in the kingdom, when we talk about throwing hands, that's surrender. So right now, would you just lift up hands to the Lord in an outward sign of inward surrender? Father, in the name of above all names, the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. God, I pray today as they release, as they throw, as they cast their cares upon you, God, that they would find new strength, that they would find new hope, God, that they would find newness of life like they've never known before, that anxiety, that depression, that anger, Lord, that sleepless nights would be completely lifted off of them, and Father, that we, in the strong name of Jesus, would come to you with all of our cares, all of our worries, and all of our burdens with confidence, knowing that you, God, are a God who will receive us. You are the God who invites us to cast our cares upon you. So we trust you, we love you, and we thank you, and we honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. I want to invite everyone to stand. Two really important things real quick about this story. Number one, when old Fred lost his axe, he asked for help. Too many of you, you're too proud or you're too fearful to ask for help. Say amen. That was good. Noel, where you at? Right? Listen, ask the Lord for help. But sometimes you need to ask a brother or a sister for help as well. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Second really important thing that you need to hear. After God provided a miracle for old Fred, Fred obeyed the Lord. This is what he says. Elisha said, "Where'd the axe head fall?" Right there. Elisha cut a stick, he threw it in the water, the axe head floated to the surface, and Elisha said, grab it, pick it up. The New King James, the actual phrase is, pick it up for yourself. And here's the point. God will do for you what you cannot do for you. But God will not do for you what you can do for you. Believe God for the miracle. Go to God with all your cares and worries and burdens. But when he says, hey, it's time for you to move, it's time for you to act, it's time for you to get to work, don't shrug your shoulders and say, God, I thought you was going to do it all for me. Because we're on a co-mission with Christ, right? Right? It's called the Great Co-Mission, right? So God works with us. He works in us, he works for us, but he also works with us. So when God gives you a miracle, or even when he doesn't give you the miracle that you were asking for, but he tells you to do something, obey the Lord, because God will not do for you what you can do for you. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. It's been 6 weeks today since I've gotten to do it, maybe five. I can't count really well. It's been too long, okay? And I want to pray number 6 over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. May it be so in Jesus' name. And Lifehouse said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Can't wait to see you at Serve Day this Saturday.